Welcome to No Ad, No Problem, a podcast devoted to college tennis and growing the game. Check us out on Twitter at JTweetsTennis and Instagram at No Ad, No Problem. I'm your host, John. Let's serve it up. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to a Women's Match of the Week preview. After Ethan and I broke down Ohio State at Texas on the men's side, I had to keep the good vibes going and get back on here just solo to preview a top 10 matchup on the women's side with Pepperdine traveling to number 2 Michigan on Sunday. It is Thursday afternoon here in California. It's sunny. It's good vibes right now. So hopefully we can bring some of that out to the Midwest. I think this match will unfortunately be indoors, but I'm feeling good. Wanted to preview some of that women's action coming your way this weekend. And there's a lot of good matches this weekend. Some conferences are already in their second weekend of conference play, but there were two that stood out to me in particular. Consider these your honorable mentions, if you will. Again, a lot of good matches, but these are the ones that I'm really intrigued by. And the first is the Georgia women at Florida. First off, this is a huge rivalry between Georgia and Florida. This match is in the swamp in Gainesville. And both of these teams are looking for a nice ranked win. I would argue both of these teams have underperformed a little bit relative to expectations coming into the season. These two teams have already played each other. They played at indoors in that sort of all SEC part of the draw. You had Texas A&M, Auburn in there facing some of these teams as well. Georgia won that match 4-1, so we'll have to see if the Gators can get revenge. Looking to see Florida's bottom of the lineup step up, see if they can stay competitive at the top of the lineup. That's a matchup where Georgia could pretty quickly run away with the top of the lineup. So curious to see how that one plays out. And both of these teams actually have tough undercards, I would argue, this weekend. Georgia's playing South Carolina, who took a tough loss to LSU this past weekend, but will always be frisky, having a top 10 pair with Ackley and Hamner at the top of the lineup. And Florida is playing Tennessee. This is a Florida team that historically has lost almost no matches. I mean, literally like zero matches up until the past year-ish, where Tennessee has continued its rise. So very curious to see how that one plays out. Those two teams match up very similarly to me, both solid 1-6, but no real standout positions. So that will be a good test for Florida. And so both Florida and Georgia, curious to see. We don't have any SEC teams in the top 8 right now. So one of these teams, Georgia, Florida, maybe Texas A&M after this weekend, could jump up into that top 8. So very curious to see how that plays out in the SEC. The other honorable mention this week for me is out on the West Coast and not as highly ranked as some of these matches we're talking about, but this one is Cal at Arizona State. Now you have both Cal and Stanford who are traveling partners in the Pac-12. They are making their way to the Arizona schools this weekend, but I'm most intrigued by Cal at Arizona State. And the reason why is, one, on the Arizona State side of things, we saw them knock off a top 10 school in Ohio State, followed by a loss to a Baylor team that had really struggled this season. So really trying to calibrate where Arizona State is. So this is a good test for them. And then on the Cal side, we'll talk about some tough scheduling because we're talking about Pepperdine and Michigan. Cal does not follow that playbook. They have just played San Diego State and UCSB since indoors, which at this point was 3 weeks ago. So they have really not been tested, and this will be a good test for them. It's a tough place to play. Arizona State is. Arizona State has recently taken this match from Cal over the past few years. So that one I'm curious to see, learn a lot about those two teams in the Pac-12. But with those honorable mentions, let's turn it over to our main match of the week, which is number 8 Pepperdine at number 2 Michigan in Ann Arbor. This match is Sunday at 12 p.m. Eastern. So I will say one concern I have about choosing this match of the week is it's always dicey when you choose a Sunday match after one of the teams, or maybe both of the teams, has a tough Friday match. And that's certainly the case here. Pepperdine is going on the road to both Ohio State and Michigan. They're getting two top 10 road tests. And just a shout out to all three of these coaches. This is the third year that these three have played in sort of a little tripod of matches. Although I think it's a much easier sell to Ohio State and Michigan to come out west and play in Malibu during the February and early March timeframe. A little bit tougher to sell Pepperdine to go to the Midwest here, play indoors in March. But that is something that Coach Nilsson has done. This is something that started in 2022, and he was on the road there. These Pepperdine Waves were, they played indoors both at Ohio State and at Michigan. And that Ohio State match is absolutely no gimme for Pepperdine. So I feel a little odd glossing over it, but those fast indoor courts in Columbus, it's going to take Pepperdine some adjusting too. And certainly there are a lot of teams that feel like they might have a calculus against this Pepperdine team. And we'll talk more about that with Michigan. So knock on wood for the integrity of this podcast that Pepperdine gets that win over Ohio State. Otherwise, maybe some of these forecasting for this Michigan match is going to be completely wrong. But Ohio State taking on Pepperdine Friday, and then Pepperdine heads to number two Michigan on Sunday. So with that caveat out of the way, if we're just looking at Ohio State and Michigan in a vacuum, what makes this match so compelling? Well, first off, I chose this match because it was the Sunday match, and I want you all to have a few days for this podcast to bake so you can listen to it on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But this is also the highest ranked matchup we have on the women's side. This is a number two Michigan team taking on a number eight Pepperdine team. And on the topic of rankings, this is a massive weekend for Pepperdine. If Pepperdine goes 2-0 this weekend and gets away wins at Ohio State and Michigan, this Pepperdine team is going to come out of this weekend number two in the country. And so there's a lot riding on this matchup with Michigan, because certainly getting that ranked wins, you get the 10% bonus when you get an away win, very big for Pepperdine. The other reason why I think this is a really fun matchup is this is a strength versus weakness matchup. And we'll get more into this later, but Pepperdine is so top heavy. And especially when you look at how they performed at indoors, they only got one singles victory at positions 4, 5, and 6. And that is where Michigan has really shown their prowess over the start of this season. So that makes for a fun contrast in lineup strength. And also, I guess lastly here, this is the last of the main non-conference matchups we'll get. Certainly it is for Michigan as they turn their attention to an immediate conference matchup with Ohio State and the rest of their conference play. Now, Pepperdine being in the WCC, they continue to schedule super aggressively. This is definitely not their last non-conference matchup. They basically will run the gamut through the Pac-12. They'll play Cal twice, Stanford, USC, and UCLA. So still a lot of tough matches for this Pepperdine team. All right, let's transition to doing a little bit of a deep dive on each of these teams. So number two, Michigan. You know, coming into the season, the expectations were high for this Michigan team. They returned almost their entire top six from last season, a season that saw them make the NCAA quarterfinal. And they have so many seniors and veteran experience kind of littered throughout this lineup. And so far, 2024, they have, I would say, over-delivered on even what those high expectations were. They are 11-3. They made their first indoor semifinal. They backed it up by making their first indoors final, where they ultimately lost 4-3 to the number one team in the country, Oklahoma State. So you feel like this season couldn't have started any better for Michigan. Now, of those three losses, two of them came to number one Oklahoma State, including that indoor final that I mentioned. And then the one loss that they wish they could get back was a home loss to USC, where they didn't have senior Jaden Brown in the lineup, which is a tough blow for this Michigan team, who is incredibly deep 1 through 6, but it starts to get a little bit lighter 7 and 8. So if they're going to be missing a player, certainly that comes into play, particularly because Jaden is such a factor for them in doubles at the number one doubles slot with Kari Miller. But overall, you really couldn't have asked for a better start to the season for Michigan. And so what makes the Wolverines so good? We can look at this both on the quantitative side and more of the qualitative side. So we'll start with the quant side. What do the numbers tell us? Well, the numbers tell us that they are solid everywhere. They can get a singles point really against anyone at any position, but it's particularly 4 through 6 are their best winning percentages. So that's where you start to see them have an 80% win percentage, an 85% win percentage, particularly if we kind of just look at the indoors and post run that they've been on. And two players who stand out when you look at their records are senior Gala Masaharito, who is 9-2. She's been playing anywhere from the number 4 spot all the way up to the number 2 spot. And really, wherever she plays, you feel like her game style, she'll rise to the occasion. And she, as Alex Gruskin likes to say, has never lost a match where Michigan really needed her point. And you certainly saw that at indoors, particularly that Oklahoma State final where they needed her. They need all 3 matches left on the court, and she came through for them. That was at the number 3 spot against Lucia Pyre of Oklahoma State. The second player on this Michigan team who has really had a standout start to the singles dual match play is Piper Charney. She's a freshman. She's been 9-3 here to start the season. She's been so excellent for the Wolverines at the 5 and the 6 spot. And she's also been a big contributor in doubles. She and freshman Reese Miller, sister of Kari Miller, have really contributed there at the number 3 spot and offered a really solid doubles position for Michigan. So those are two players that have had standout starts to this season, but really everywhere, this Michigan team feels like they're competitive against every team. And that's where this sort of je ne sais quoi or the X factor comes into play on the qualitative side. And having watched this team at indoors, the thing that comes jumping out at you is that the team really does have great chemistry. You can tell that they really gel well together. And it's the type of team where you know across every court, you're going to get that player's best effort. And I don't feel that way about every team in every match, but you do feel that with this Michigan team. They're a very trustworthy team. Like, there is a lot of trust in these players that they're going to put out their best effort. Everyone from Kari Miller at the top of the lineup, who doesn't have the biggest weapons at the number one position, but she is going to grind out there all day. She's going to dig her heels in and make you earn that match at number one. That attitude, the top of that lineup, it permeates throughout every other singles position for the Wolverines. And it's really impressive. You saw what they did against Oklahoma State, where early on after dropping doubles, you felt like that could have been a very quick 4-0 match against Oklahoma State, but they clawed their way back. Ultimately, they eventually lost 4-3, but they were in almost every single match. So they're going to be riding a lot of confidence, and I think we'll be excited for this Pepperdine matchup, excited to get them on their home courts at the Varsity Tennis Center in Ann Arbor. On the Pepperdine side, in a lot of ways, this Pepperdine team is the inverse of Michigan. Not so much on the culture or the chemistry, but just in terms of the way that they feel like their strengths are laid out. They have 3 stars at 1 through 3, where any of them are capable at playing at number 1. And regardless of the order you rolled those 3 players out, you like Pepperdine's chances to go at minimum 2-1. Maybe even 3-0 against any team in the country. You have a 5th year in Lisa Czar, who was part of that NCAA finalist team back in 2021. You have senior Janice Chen, who was an NCAA semifinalist her freshman year. And then you have junior Savannah Brodus, who in her 2.5 years in college tennis has only lost 5, maybe 6 dual matches. And they've all, you know, been in the top 10 of the ITA singles rankings. You would roll with that top 3 in singles against any team in the country. And on top of that, Chen and Brodus pair together to be one of, if not the best doubles team in the country, currently ranked number two in the country. So that alone is going to take you very far in a college tennis format that only requires you to get 4 points on the board. You feel like this team has 3 1/3 in terms of their overall points. And that has led to them being 7-2 this season. The losses are to Virginia, that came in the first round of ITA indoors, and Oklahoma State, where this Pepperdine team went on the road before indoors, got some great competition in against Oklahoma State. The other thing for this Pepperdine team is that they're sitting really pretty so far this season. 7-2, they have 4 really quality wins, including Cal, USC, Auburn, and Florida. I mentioned not only do they have this weekend in the Big Ten, they have more Pac-12 matches to come. They missed out on being a top 8 seed last year. They had to go on the road to Texas. That was a match that ultimately got moved indoors. I can tell you that this Pepperdine team does not want to go on the road for the Super Regional. They don't want to have to go indoors potentially at all. So as much as they can avoid that, they are looking to do. And they are certainly setting themselves up for success with this super aggressive schedule. But that's the top 3 for this Pepperdine team. And they've been excellent there. They've only lost 1 singles match at each of those 3 positions this year. It's 4-6 where they've struggled. A lot of these matches have gone unfinished, or they were on the losing end when it was unfinished, or they've taken losses here. The 3 players that have played primarily here are Anna Campagna, the transfer from Wake Forest, now in her second year at Pepperdine. You have Nikki Redlick, who has been a staple of this Pepperdine team for the last few years. And then you have freshman Jasmine Conway. So specifically, I would say Redlick and Conway are still getting their sea legs a little bit, which feels really weird to say for Nikki Redlick, because she has been so experienced with this Pepperdine team, probably not at her best indoors. But that's been where this Pepperdine team has struggled. And they've also, strangely enough, struggled in doubles. I say strangely only because they have one of the best doubles teams in the country with Chen and Brodus at number 1. They haven't lost a match there, but they've been really bad at number 2 doubles. They have 17% win percentage there, kind of battling 500 at number 3. Historically, this Pepperdine team would rather just start with singles. Doubles hasn't been their strength, but certainly they've found an excellent duo with Chen and Brodus. You feel like over the course of these next few months, those 2 teams, 3 teams are going to get a little bit better. It certainly hasn't helped that Lisa Czar was out playing pro tennis this past fall. So they've been working her into the doubles lineup, and it always takes a little bit for people to acclimate as doubles partners. So I do think that like doubles will improve over the course of the season. Big question here is going to be whether or not it improves quickly enough so that they don't drop doubles to either Ohio State or Michigan. So let's talk about biggest question for each of these 2 teams. For Michigan, I think it's super straightforward. The question is, can they steal a point in the top 3 singles position? Because so far this season, taking 1 singles match, just 1 at 1-3, has been a knockout blow to Pepperdine. The 2 matches that they've lost, they suffered 1 singles loss in the top 3 positions. That was Heba Shake of Virginia. She took out Savannah Brodus. And then Lucia Pyre took out Janice Chen at the number 3 position when Pepperdine played Oklahoma State. So when we talk lineups, let's keep that in mind. Michigan is looking for just 1 singles match to deliver a knockout blow against Pepperdine. That's the biggest question for them. I'm also curious, they recently spent some time in Hawaii on spring break, played a match against Hawaii there. Lily Jones didn't play, so maybe a potential injury watch there for them. That would get things a little dicey and give Pepperdine a little bit of cover down at the bottom of the lineup, but I am expecting Lily Jones to be in this match. On the Pepperdine side, for me, the big question is, can you get more production out of Redlick and Conway? For as good as this Pepperdine team is at number 1 doubles and 1-3 singles, they really need to have more serviceable matches at 5 and 6. And the one I would really look to is Nikki Redlick. She has been very solid for this team over the last few years. You give a little bit more leeway, if you will, to Jasmine Conway, who is just in her first season here in Malibu. So I'd be looking to Redlick to really step up here and try and put a win on the board, because it's, you feel like it's kind of the inverse for Pepperdine. Michigan's going to be looking to get a match at 1-3. If Pepperdine can get a win on the board, not just a DNF at 4-6, they need a win. They get a win at 4-6, and particularly if that comes with Nikki Redlick, now you're starting to feel really good if you're Pepperdine. So in terms of the lineups and the specific match calculus here, we'll go with what we've recently seen from these two teams. Then we'll talk a little bit about any specific matchups I'm intrigued by. We'll also give a little bit UTR, what UTR tells us, and then we will close out with predictions. So on the Michigan side, we're going to get Kari Miller at 1. Likely Julia Fleekner at 2, Gala Masaharito at 3, Jaden Brown at 4, Lily Jones at 5, and Piper Charney at 6. This is what they have been rolling out with in their last few matches. On the Pepperdine side, Lisa Czar at 1, Savannah Brodus at 2, Janice Chen at 3, Anna Campagna at 4, Nikki Redlick at 5, and Jasmine Conway at 6. All right, I mentioned that the key question for Michigan was, can you get a match 1-3? And Janice Chen for Pepperdine has looked excellent to start the season. I was a little critical of Janice Chen's form coming into the season, and I thought that could have been a big blow to Pepperdine if she regressed in her form, but she's been playing as good of tennis as we've seen from her. With that said, though, I still think that's Michigan's best bet at getting a singles point on the board at 1-3. And the reason for that is because I think the game style of Gala Masaharito, how scrappy she is, how well she can play defense, make Janice Chen play an additional ball. I don't think she'll be that troubled by Janice Chen's backhand slice, nor will she be troubled by Janice Chen coming into net. She'll be happy to hit passing shots or lobs. And she really hasn't lost a big match for them. And so that's the one that I would circle from a lineup perspective. I really don't think either of these teams will make any adjustments. We've seen Michigan play around with maybe Gala at 2 above Julia Fleekner or Jaden Brown, but I really like Gala at 3 against this Pepperdine team. So I think we're going to get these lineups, no real changes. It's interesting, though, I talk about kind of the strength of Pepperdine being 1-3 and Michigan really being 4-6. UTR does not agree with us. UTR believes that Kari Miller is favored at 1 against Lisa Czar, and that Michigan is favored at 6 with Piper Charney over Jasmine Conway, which I absolutely agree with. But they think Pepperdine is favored 2-5. So let's go through these matchups. I think Lisa Czar is the clear favorite at 1. These are two players who bring your lunch. You're going to go all day, play very similar game styles. I think Lisa Czar has a little bit more finishing power than Kari Miller, and I do not think she'll be bothered at all by Kari Miller's consistency. This is one that I think is pretty squarely in the Lisa Czar Pepperdine camp. Savannah Brodus, Julia Fleekner, again, firmly in the Savannah Brodus Pepperdine camp here. The weapons, the aggression that she plays with, I think will be a little bit overwhelming for Julia Fleekner, who also likes to play first strike tennis, but I think Savannah Brodus will really enjoy that pace. On the Gala, Janice Chen, let's circle back to that one because I think that one is going to be very interesting. I like Jaden Brown of Michigan over Anna Campagna. She has shown blips of sort of the Jaden of past. I know she has been struggling with recovering from her shoulder injury, but I think she came through in some of those biggest moments at indoors, and I think she'll only continue to get better. Lily Jones versus Nikki Redlick. Indoors, I think the ball striking ability of Lily Jones is going to be favored, make her favored here in this match. So I like Lily Jones against Redlick, who, again, I just don't think is that comfortable indoors. And then certainly Piper Charney, just a heavy favorite at 6 over Jasmine Conway. So going back to that Gala Chen match, it's so tough to pick against Gala in this match. So I would have to go with her as well, which means I am taking Michigan at 3, 4, 5, and 6, which would mean Michigan takes this match. I think it's going to be Michigan winning either 4-3 or 5-2. It wouldn't surprise me to see Pepperdine take a doubles point, particularly because I think they're a heavy favorite at number one. This Michigan team is still playing around with their doubles lineups, whether they're swapping Anna Ross out at number two and pulling in Julia Fliegner. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Pepperdine take the doubles point. If they do, that match, this match becomes very interesting. There's clearly a path for Pepperdine to knock off Michigan. But I think ultimately at home, assuming full health, it's just tough to bet against the Michigan Wolverines. I think ultimately Pepperdine still comes away with a win. I think they will get the win over Ohio State, and that's enough to really pad that ranking through the rest of the season, particularly if they make good on some of those matches they have in the Pac-12. Just tough for me right now indoors to see where Pepperdine gets its 4 points. They just have too thin of margins right now until they move outdoors and get more improvement from Redlick and Conway. The margins are just too thin. You would have to really thread the needle against this Michigan team and go doubles 1, 2, and 3. And I think this Michigan team is too tough and prevents that from happening. So that is my prediction for this week's women's match of the week. Number 2, Michigan, taking on number 8, Pepperdine in Ann Arbor, the Varsity Tennis Center. Let me know who you think takes this non-conference match, and we'll be back next week. If you haven't checked out some of our interviews with Coach Jamie Hunt of Georgia, be sure to listen to that and be on the lookout next week for coach interviews with Drake Bernstein of Georgia, as well as player interviews with Thomas Paulsell and Dasha Vidmanova of Georgia. Chat with you all soon. Thanks, everyone.